I humorously laugh at that because my husband calls me a repository of useless facts. Because when I was a missionary kid growing up in the Philippines, we didn't have phones and the Britannica. Does anybody remember they used to sell those door to door? And I might be the only person you know that has read the Encyclopedia Britannica. So I am a great repository of a lot of useless facts if you need one. It is good to be with you. It is my honor. The devil thought he had me yesterday. I struggled out of that. I just want to tell you, airline travel through Chicago O'Hare Airport is an exercise in prayer. We were actually in the basement twice from tornado warnings, me and all the other people that was there, but we were saved, and I got in late last night. But it is good to be with you. I want to give honor, of course, to your district superintendent's wife, Sister Calthorpe. It's wonderful to see you. Love her. Wish I had her sense of humor. Wish I could write like that. And Sister Nave, so nice to meet you. And of course, Sister Burke, my friend, and Sister Cox. And I have so many friends. If I start calling names, I'm going to get in big, big trouble. But I love you all. So good to see all my missionary kids. Woo, woo. Yeah. Once a missionary, we're always. And I love it. Thrills me. I just love the people of God. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, say, you look awfully pretty today. Truthful, so you're covered. You look awfully pretty today. Still in that heavenly zone of no lying, no fibbing. Now I'm going to take my text from a scripture that you probably all could quote. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Don't panic, I'm not preaching the whole Bible. Somebody went, oh, Lord, are we winding up in Revelation? That's all I need to know. Genesis 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God, everybody say created. The heavens and the earth. You know, almost if the Bible had closed right there, I would be content with this story. In the beginning, God created. If you just give me a few minutes, I want to talk to you about something that's really eating my spirit up right now. I want to tell you about God, your creator. Lord Jesus, I feel a sweet, sweet, gentle presence of you in this building. We know you as many things, but in this room, God, before someone leaves, I want the earth, the creator of humanity, the creator of all things, and for them to understand, God, the power that is loosed in them today. We give you the glory and the honor. We're honored to be in your presence, Lord. We know you are going to do great, great things. And everybody say in Jesus' name, you may be seated. Now, the Bible opens with this, what I call simple phrase, seemingly simple phrase. Not a lot of fanfare, not a lot of horns blowing, not a lot of excessive detail, just one declaration, God created. But I would like to come to you and say that I believe this is a revelation of who God really is. If you want to put it in any kind of human language that we have, I would put to you that this is God's one-line ultimate resume. This is a declaration of who he is. Now, creating is an action, but the creator is who our God is. It is the very core of his being. If you could say it this way, which is kind of hard to say because he's always existed, but he exists to create. He exists to do creative things. And before these 10 words were spoken, he was already a creator. Angels existed at this time. And if you've ever done a study on angels, I just see God has an excessive imagination. You know, there's Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, and if you read anything about Lucifer, like a lot of detail went into that. I mean, there's little cherubs, and then there's cherubims with flaming swords, and then there's those guys in Ezekiel with wheels. I don't know what that's all about. Can you just see God as a creator? Like, well, that was kind of cool. Let's add some wheels to this. I call them the first Transformers. I don't know. Maybe I'm off card there, but when I see it, I just see wheels moving and them transforming into something else. I mean, have you understand? He made them messengers. He gave them job descriptions. There were messengers, and there were ministering spirits, and there were worshipers, and there were warriors, and there were guardians. I mean, God was creating before this sentence came into being. See, a lot of times we miss thinking about what he was doing before we came into existence because, hey, it was all about us. But he is a creator. But can you imagine after expanding his creative mind into all of these angels that he made, he said it's not all of a sudden he steps into this stage of heaven, whatever that looked like. I mean, we see it as darkness, but I think there was light, something that he was there, where he was present. But he steps onto that stage and he decides, I'm going to create something new. And then all of a sudden, the power of 10 words, creates time, space, and matter. In the beginning, time is created. That's the start of something. That's the start of the linear time frame that you live in. God created the heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter. In 10 words. Listen, I've tried, my grandma used to knit. Anybody had those toilet paper doll covers? I got those for Christmas in every color, whatever yarn was on sale, praise God. Not even the color of my bathroom. If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you get a little doll figurine and you put a skirt on her and you put that over your toilet paper. And then you try to get your toilet paper out. It's a nightmare. I'm just going to tell you, I've tried to be creative. I've tried to knit and I've tried to quilt. And I can't even sew a button on. Some things I just have to leave alone. Amen. Praise God. That's not a thing that you live in into existence. This is his nature. And I love this discussion. People up now, have you ever had somebody discuss with you, you know, there has to be life on other planets. Right? And I think to myself, with a little knowledge of who my God is, no, not really. I think we're a failed experiment. He is like, I created a people, then I had to save them. Not doing that again. Can I tell you something, though? The Hubble telescope was created and it was put into space on April the 44th of 1990. This thing is so powerful, the cameras that are on there are so powerful that it can shoot pictures 13.4 billion light years away from Earth. Think about this. I can't even fathom what 13.4 light years are. I think from here to the moon is 170-something light years. So you add that math up. It's shooting those pictures. But have you seen the pictures of the Hubble telescope that they send back? It's just galaxies and planets and looks like fireworks in space. But it just break it down for you. Why are we? I don't think they'll ever reach the end because I think when God gets a little bored of dealing with us, he just walks to the edge of space and goes, I need a new galaxy because that's what I am. That's who I am. I'm a creator. I'm just going to throw that one there. And, oh, that's some pretty colors. Let's just throw that one into space. And I think we could search and search and we would never find the end because from the beginning of time, which he created, from the beginning of space, which he created, he has continued to be the creator. It's his first, and can I tell you this? It's his most fulfilling job description. He reveals I'm the creator, beginning of the heaven and earth. And then for the next 6 days, that's all he does. He just creates and creates and creates and creates. And I love it because y'all think all journaling you do is the new thing. God started this. Genesis 1:3, journal entry, day one. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light and said, bam, that's good. See, y'all think y'all just inherited, y'all, we invented journaling. No, you didn't. God's working on the heavens. He's got to make a troposphere, a stratosphere, a mesosphere, a thermosphere, an ionosphere. I didn't know I had that many spheres, and an exosphere. He didn't even have time to journal that day. He was pretty tired. It's a hard day's work. The next day he gets up and he makes the sea and he makes the earth. And I love, can I just share with you my favorite verse in the Bible that describes this? It's found in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. And it says it so poetically. It said, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and has meted out the heavens with the span? Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? I can't count it, but he knows exactly how much it weighs, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Whew. That's your God. That's God the creator. And he finished that day and he goes, Genesis chapter 1 verse 9, journal entry day 2. Or day 3, and God saw that it was. And I could take you to Genesis 1:12 and Genesis 1:18 and Genesis 1:21 and Genesis 1:25, and all you're going to see is God over and over again fulfilling the essence of who he is and creating and creating and creating, and then writing that day. Today, this was a great day. And day 6 arrives. He's gotten really creative at this point. Either that or he's just out of creativity. I mean, have y'all seen the animals? Oh, like poor aardvark. He was like, he just took a bunch of parts of other people, stuck them on there. Maybe after the aardvark, he's like, guys, I think I'm gonna have to do something different. I'm a little bit low on it here. But day 6 arrives and man is created. Can I tell you what you are? You are the crowning creation, conformed into the very likeness and the image of the creator. He made a lot of animals, but they weren't formed into his likeness. But there's something different about humanity. And when he formed it, he said, this is a special creation. This is my crowning achievement as a creator. And I love it. Because then he looks back and he gives a weekly performance review in his journal. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, day 6. And God saw everything that he had made. And he said, this ain't just good anymore. This is very good. And we read that and we read through Genesis 1. And I know you little bread people checking your boxes. Or like me, the little guy reading to me and we check our box, we read it, but you've got to stop for a minute and you've got to push aside moving and you've got to say, God, you wrote over and over and over again, I'm a creator and I love what I do. I'm a creator and what I made is wonderful and it is good and it is awesome. This shows us the essence of who our God is. The Bible is filled with scriptures of the voices of prophets and priests throughout the pages. They spoke with power. They spoke with authority. But can I just remind you that their voices were reciting words that God had given to them. But there is one place in the Bible where there are four entire chapters of God speaking about himself in the first person. Four chapters in the Bible where God comes down and he's going to reveal who he is. This is not him speaking through a priest. It's not him speaking through a prophet or a preacher. This is his voice declaring who he is. And when I read Job chapter 38 through Job chapter 41, everything my God declares about himself says, I am the creator. This is his voice speaking. He's going to declare. 126 verses, he shares his job resume with Job and those three friends of his. And here's how it goes. He reviews the day that he laid the foundation of the world, and the angels who were already created shout for joy at his accomplishment. And I love the Lord because he kind of snarkily, that's a good southern word, looks at Job and his friends and goes, I don't remember you four being there when I did all this work. You ain't in my journal. He talks about the day that he created the earth, and I laid the foundation of it, and I put the cornerstone of the earth. And then he takes them out to the sea. And do you remember? I don't remember you being there, but I remember when I laid the thick darkness of the sea there. And I set the boundaries of the shore with my finger, and I drew that line. And then he takes them to the heavens, and he says, where were you when I set all these constellations of stars in the heaven? And he names them. And I can't name them, but he named them. And he said, where were you when all of these came into being? Then he turns to him and says, and where were you when I made all these animals? And not only did I make all these animals, guys, but I've been feeding and taking care of these animals since that day. And then he says, I got animals you don't even know about. You haven't even seen them yet. But for four, this just excites me. Four chapters. See, I know how you are. Job's a hard read. I've been there. First few chapters are exciting, and then it's just like blah 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 blah. And I'm like, but if you're not careful, you'll miss when all of a sudden Job chapter 38 opens up and the Lord, like a thunderous noise, speaks to those little group of men gathered around. Hey guys, I've been listening to you. You don't know anything about me, but let me tell you in my voice who I am. And you got to see this. He only talks about creation for four chapters. Now, biblical history tells us that Job should really be inserted between Genesis 11 and 12. So, obviously, humanity needed a redeemer. They'd already fallen in sin. Why didn't he tell them, hey, one day I'm going to be your redeemer? You got a man laying in his own nastiness who's covered with sores. I think he needs a healer. Come on, God, tell him you're a healer. He does not list any of those attributes. In fact, for four chapters, know nothing about me. I'm a creator. And over again, when he has endless time and endless pages and endless moments, this is an unending sermon that he could speak. All he does is says, hey, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a creator. Can I just tell you, we lose it in this generation. Because we're so focused. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's okay. We're so focused on needing God as our healer and our provider and our redeemer. That's all we think about, and that's all we pray about, and that's all we ask him to do. And I think sometimes God's like, oh, seriously? I'll do what you want me to do, but that's not what I want to do. That's not who I am. Can you walk with me a little further? We're going somewhere. God stands I see creation now everywhere in the Bible. I'm sorry. Every story of the Bible, just about. But one of my favorites comes from the 10 plagues of Egypt in the Old Testament. This is my favorite story. I have a little revenge spirit sometimes. So I really like this story. So you know the background of the story. I don't have to tell you. But then you get this day when Moses and Aaron stand before Pharaoh. Let my people go. I'm not going to let them go. The Lord already told him what to do. It already showed him what to do. He throws that rod down, right? The rod becomes a serpent. Woo, scary. I'd be stupid there, but whatever. Now, I've questioned that. I don't know about you. Maybe y'all don't question the Bible like I do. I'm like, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Well, then we come to the next plague. The Lord tells Aaron, take the same rod, you know, that rod that ate up all their serpents. I want you to stretch it over the rivers, and they're going to turn to blood. Once again, the magicians were able to do it. This is not working out good for us, Lord. We're tied. I don't like being tied. And Moses and Aaron stretched that same rod again over the waters. And the Bible says a multitude of frogs comes up out of the water and covers the land. And once again, the magicians reproduce the frogs. But oh, we come to the fourth plague. I don't know if it's my favorite plague, but I just kind of like it a little bit. I don't know if I have a favorite plague. Didn't come out very well, did it? God says to Moses and Aaron, take the same rod, stretch it over the dust of the earth. That's interesting to me. Take that dust, and that dust is going to become lice. And the Bible says that it happened. But then the Bible says in Exodus 8, the magicians tried and tried, but they could not reproduce. They could not duplicate. They could not replicate this miracle. And it became a serpent. Okay. When they went to the waters and did their little alchemy and it turned to blood. When they cajoled the tadpoles to grow faster. But all of a sudden, we get to a plague that involves God's highest creative material, which is dust. Okay, guys, look, you borrowed my wood. You borrowed my water. And you borrowed my tadpoles, but nobody gets to borrow my dust. That's my highest creative material. So guess what? You've been borrowing my stuff. You go get your own stuff now. Because you see, they can duplicate and they can replicate and they can reproduce, but nothing in this world can create. Only your God can create out of dust something living. One team, 1 point for God, 0 for you guys. But God said, don't you understand? In fact, even the magicians declared it. Because in Exodus 8:19, when Pharaoh's like, what you guys, why you can't do it no more? This is what they said. This is the what? This is the finger of God. When the barely touching the finger of man. That's to indicate creation. The magicians were saying, hey, we can duplicate, we can replicate, we can reproduce. We cannot create. Only God can create. God showed himself as a creator. God just looked at them and said, hey, this is my material. You've been borrowing from me long enough. If you are going to be a creator, go get your own stuff. Humanity doesn't have that power. In fact, I just think it's ironic because down through the Old Testament, walk them through the Red Sea. You said that today. Oh, I don't know about you. God bless Moses. I think he's the greatest pastor of all time. Somebody would have died in the wilderness. Not me. Anybody else have that problem? I just think, oh, Moses, you're so wonderful. Such a good pastor, because when the Lord said, get out of the way, I'm going to kill him, I'd have been like, absolutely. Have at it. Because that was the gripingest, murmuringest, fightingest bunch of heathens. Lord have mercy. God did all those miracles for them. The irony in to want to worship the gods of the surrounding nations. And those gods didn't even create themselves. Humans created those gods. Now just think about that for a minute. What if you had to create your own god to worship? Well, if it was something having to do with crafts, arts and crafts, I'd be out of luck. Mine would look like terrible. The Bible says that they formed them out of it. Workmen in workshops, taking a branch or a tree, beating metal into some form to be worshipped. I love what Isaiah chapter 40, verses 19 through 20, reveals about the futility of humanity doing this. He says, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and he casteth silver change, and the Bible says, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation. I'll just say, him that's so poor that he ain't got a gift to bring to his idol. Goes out into the wood and chooses a tree that will not rot. Then he goes goes and finds a workman who can carve it for him to prepare a graven image that what? Shall not be moved. I'm tired just thinking about doing all that. I'm tired just looking at all that work. I'm tired of just bringing food to, that you're worshiping, that you're all dancing around, that somebody's going to throw their baby into the fire to. In fact, Isaiah 44 makes the analogy, these men work so hard with wood and brass and gold and clay to form these images that the workmen who make the gods are so tired and weary and hungry and thirsty, they about collapse. But then, when I read that, and as I read that whole chapter, and then all of a sudden, I hear this ringing in my ears of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, and the voice of God, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, I do not get weary, I do not faint, I do not have any length and stop of my understanding. You don't have to worry about making an image that's going to make me tired. I created everything, and every day I said, that's good, that's good. And I got up the next day excited to create more. Can I just tell you, if whatever you're worshiping is wearing you out, you need to get rid of it, and you need to turn back to the creator who has the source of all power and all strength and all dominion. Don't get me started. Children of Israel, some of us have the idol of vanity. When you care more about what the world thinks about you than what your God thinks about you, when you're more interested in pleasing society and being thought of as beautiful by society rather than saying, am I pleasing and acceptable to you, oh God? Let's talk about that idol for a minute. I got scripture after scripture about that idol of vanity. I got a whole book for you. We create these idols. We lift them up and we get worn out. God said, I'm not that guy. I am the creator. Capital T-H-E. I don't need a lowercase. I don't need an assistant. I don't need anybody else. That is my nature. That is who I am. I get up every day excited about what I can create. In fact, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, the Lord just kind of wraps up that whole conversation with this declaration. He says, I am the God that maketh all things. He didn't say that like he was tired of it. I'm the God. I'm your redeemer. I'm he that formed it. I'm the God that makes everything. Don't you understand? That brings me joy. We're instructed to do that. But I just want to ask you a question. Are you making God work in a realm he doesn't really enjoy working in? Can I ask it to you this way? Are your prayers too small? Are your requests too little? I'm telling you, this has got a hold of me. Because let me ask you something. Where did the need for a healer come? Our sin. God had to become a healer because we sinned and our sin brought sickness and disease. God had to become a savior because our sin brought the curse of sin and death. He had to become a deliverer because my sentence was death, hell, and the grave. He had to become a deliverer and a savior to set me free because I had enslaved myself to sin. You see, God will work in all those realms, but he had to. Everybody say had to. He had to become a healer and he had to become a deliverer because humanity had no self-control. And because of my sin, my God will work in those realms. But I want my God to work in his first calling. I want him to work at the top line of his resume. I want him to work what brings him the greatest joy. I don't want to reduce him down to my sinful nature. I don't want to bring him down to my sinful nature. I receive. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. You have to bear with me. I don't read the Bible like everybody else. In the book of Mark, this man comes running up to Jesus. And he says, Master, heal me.
Bible says, Jesus, lifting up his eyes, sighed. I'm going to give it a minute. Because I know y'all think Jesus was always spiritual and he prayed. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus rolled his eyes. And I can prove it to you scripturally. Because he didn't say nothing like, oh, God, help us. Oh, the Bible says Jesus, lifting up his eyes, sighed and said, be healed. I'm not going to tell you. It's in the book of Mark. You go find it. See, y'all don't read the book. Y'all are like, oh, he just prayed. He did not pray. I think he went, seriously? Because that man ran up to the guy who had the words of eternal life. You want me to heal you so you can do? You need to do your nonsense down, and you just want the healer. Well, I'll be the healer. Oh, I felt it. You feeling what I'm? This has been eating me up for a while. So I'm just going to bring you on the journey with me. I'm just telling you something. I think we are limiting God because all we know is that we just want to be delivered from our circumstance or set free from our situation or just healed for the moment. If I could just feel good. If you just pay my bills this month and God said, I'll do anything you ask me. But don't you understand? That is not who I am. I had to become that because you had no self-control. And I'm willing to do it because I love humanity. But in truth, ask me to be a creator. Ask me to create something new for you. Get a bigger prayer. Jesus Christ. Jesus was the ultimate creation of the creator. In fact, Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, Luke described it. He said to Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Well, that's nothing too great. People have been doing that for a while, but Mary just had a little follow-up question to that conversation. Excuse me. I've not done anything to do that. I do read the Bible like this. I was like, I just wish I was a part of that conversation because she's like, seriously? Luke 5, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the, everybody say, power of the highest. That's that John 1:1 power. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's that creative power that's going to come upon you, and the power of the highest is going to overshadow you, and the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Only the Creator could create his own body. Only the Creator could actually turn conception on the top of its head and make something totally brand new. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 declared about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He the cream of the crop. He's top of the heap. He's the king of the hill. He's the only one who has ever done like that. Because you got to understand, this was not an act of conception. This was an act of creation. This was not an act of coupling. This was an act of the Creator. He conceived a body. He inhabited a body. He took that body on a walk through this earth. And then that takes me to thinking about the first time. Can you just imagine it? Because to you, it's no big deal when that little boy, Jesus, went outside and got his feet in the dust for the first time. Mary, like, Jesus, what are you doing? Oh, mama, you don't know, but I know this is my first creative material. I wish I could tell you what all I've done with this material. I wish I could tell you what all I've seen happen with this material. I know the amount of this material on the earth right now. I could pull that figure out of my head. And then I just see that time, and Jesus, they take him down to the sea. Can you imagine the Creator going, watch me, mama. Swimming in the waves. Ah, can you see him sitting there watching the sunrise, watching it set? Jesus, you going to do that all day? Mm-hmm. Because you don't know. I remember when this came into being. Oh, that cool creation. Isn't that neat how that does that? I did that. Don't you know there was times he just wanted to say, I did that. That's mine. He probably just went around signing things. I was here, you know, like in the bathroom. I was here. I was here. I was here too. In fact, tell me when I'm done. I might revolutionize your theology just a little bit, but I just kind of think that story in John 7 where they caught the woman in the act of adultery, and I've always been like, where's the guy? Because that's my first question in that story. Because you were like, we caught her in the very act. I'm like, where's the fella? In my mind, I'm just like, Jesus, right? I am here. He's a creator. He hears the wind rustling in the trees he made. He can reach out and pet the animals he created. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 declares Jesus as the creator. For by him, not God, Jesus, it's speaking about all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, both visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and all things were created for him. Well, that doesn't excite you, but he's my friend. His power lives in me. That same creative power dwells in me because I've been received. I've been overshadowed by that Holy Spirit, and it has conceived something in me, and that conception is going to produce some power in me. Jesus declared himself over and over again, I'm the creator. I love it because you go read the stories. Everything in creation bowed to his authority. Gravity bowed to the creator when he walks on the water. Can you imagine? Matthew 13. How about 1? How about the wind that submitted and the waves that subsided at the command of the creator in Mark 4? How about the water that miraculously turned to wine at the voice of the creator in John 2? How about bread and fish that multiplied with nothing else but the word and the hands of the creator in Matthew 14? Jesus walked around giving everybody hints. Peace be still. Just waiting for somebody to recognize he's more than just a man. He's more than just a human. He's more than just somebody who can do a miracle. The creator of heaven and earth is now on the earth with the humanity and everything else that he created. And this is his representation because everything in creation bows to him. Oh, I gotta hurry, I gotta hurry, I gotta hurry. But can I just take you to John chapter 9? You know, tell I love the Bible. The man comes to Jesus. He's blind. He wants new eyes. And Jesus does something really unsanitary. He reaches down and gets some, everybody say dust. Now, if I was blind and I heard that, I'd be like, what just happened? And man out of the dust and breathing and God forming eyes out of the dust and spitting. Just need to do a study, a little cross study from Genesis chapter 1, or Genesis chapter 2, all the way over here to John chapter 9. But he spits and he actually creates new eyes. Now, this miracle wasn't like that other miracle. This miracle was important because it goes on for a whole chapter. They question the boy. They question his mom and dad. They question everybody. And the Lord said, hey, he was blind so that, what did it say? That the works of God could be manifest. Jesus said, I just rang a bell and said, I'm the creator. I just did the same thing that God did in Genesis 2. All you little Pharisees and all you Sadducees and all you scribes, you know what God did, how he took the dirt. I just showed you that same power of creation dwells in me, Jesus Christ. But then my favorite, Jesus, the creator, did something that nobody else had done. He did create new eyes and new ears, but he did the biggest when he died and he was buried and he resurrected again because there was something about the revival of that spirit that opened a new creation era. This is the second Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. This is in the beginning, Jesus created. 1 Corinthians. Oh, somebody wake up. If you've been filled with his spirit, you ain't the old man anymore. You are a new creature. everything about me is different. In fact, all that old stuff passed away. Now, some of you brought luggage. So every church service, we're trying to get you to leave your luggage. We're trying to remind you, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you rose again, you rose like Jesus with a new power and a new authority in you. With the old things passed away, released from the old things, walking into a new way. Give them some hope. Come on to the piano. And I'm closing. If you're in this room and you have never been molded into a new creation, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the infilling of the Spirit, I'm going to challenge you. Don't leave. I'll stay and pray with you as long as you want. Because you were born to be a new creation. And I'll say it to you even more. He died so you could be a new creation. Everything he did, every bit of pain. You don't have to live bound by fear and anxiety. A new creation. Old things are passed away. But to those of you in the room that you've already experienced this new creative process, I just want to ask you, why are you limiting God with your prayers? I told the Lord, I'm so tired, God, of just stopping you at being the antidote for my actions. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from this day. Deliver me from this moment. I'm sick of just asking him to be the cure for the curse I put on my life. I'm weary of just seeking him to supply in situations. But what would happen if your prayers would go from, Lord, heal me, save me, deliver me, to God, create? But I'm dealing with cancer, Sister Burton. The creator of all things can create new cells. I can ask him to heal me, and that's okay, and he's willing to do that. But God, I'll go a step further. I want you to cells in my body. Need a liver transplant. Well, guess what? Livers are easy, Lord. Create in me. See, David understood it because the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba, the conspiracy to kill Uriah, was so evil, so wicked, that when he stood before the Lord that day, he could have said, Lord, forgive me and just heal this breach that my heart and your heart. But that's not what he said. In Isaiah 51:10, he fell on his face. He said, God, create. I need a new heart, because the old heart, you can't just heal it. You can't just stitch it up or put a Band-Aid on it. God, I need you to take out that nasty heart that allowed me to go there. And I need you to put a new heart created by your hands, formed by your breath, formed in your image, and put that in my life. We're going to get to the day when we can't just pray simple prayers. Oh, God, deliver this person from transgenderism. We're going to have to say, God, create a new mind. Create a new way of thinking. Create a new tongue. Create new eyes. Create a new body. You, the one who created, and you can recreate right now something new. Stand in this room and lift your hands. God is here to do something. You're in this room and your marriage has been on the rocks lately. I want you to step forward in just a moment when I open the altars, but I don't want you to pray for healing in your marriage. I want you to say, create a new me, create a new him, create a new marriage, Create a new relationship. Create a new attitude. Create a new thought process. Some of you in here, your children aren't serving God. I don't want you to say, God, restore them. I want you to say, God, give me a new child. Take the world out. Pull it out. Drain it out. Put a new mind and a new heart and a new mouth and a new spirit and a new tongue in them right now. Some of you are going to need healing. I want you to step forward and say, create whatever you need healed. Don't just heal, but create in my body right now. If I've been talking to you, if I'm speaking to you, if one of those situations apply to you, I want you by faith, as Jesus would say, step forward into the crowd. That's it. Come on. Beyond healing, beyond deliverance. Create in me. Come on, that's it. Lift your hands and open your mouth. Release the Creator in your life right now. Release Him. Don't pray your usual prayers. Don't stop at little. Come on. Come on, ask for it. Ask for it all. Come on, some of you have been through abuse. Some of you have terrible things and memories in your mind. That's okay. God is in the room to create a new mind in you right now. He's going to pull out all of those thoughts and all of those memories. Come on, He's going to wash them in His blood, and He's going to put back into you a new mind right now. I see you right now with your hands lifted. Kila bohoshata. Come on, that's it. Don't stop. Don't just let it be simple prayer. That's okay. The Creator's working. Come on, let the Holy Spirit overshadow you right now. That's it. Lift your hands all over this room. He doesn't matter how long you've suffered with it. He's here to do something new. Hello, Bohosha. on, lay your hand on somebody beside you right now. Come on, there's power when two agree. Why don't you agree right now? A new mind, a new spirit. Come on, God, just spend a little time in a room with the Creator right now. Oh, want to tell you that I can flip every page of the Bible just about. And I see a lot of things, but I see creation. Jesus even told the disciples, the book of John, I go to, you. He said prepare, I said create a place for you. While we're down here working our way through this life, he's just up there creating. The book of Revelation says, I got a new earth and a new heaven. And I got materials that you don't even know about, because I've never seen gold that's transparent like glass. And I've never seen a pearl that could be a gate. But God said, you know what? The creator has no limits. I challenge you before you leave in this room, don't limit the creator. I don't know about you, but for many years of my life, the creator was Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And then it was Jesus everything. I want to pull the creator out of Genesis 1. And I want to pull him across the pages of my life. I'm barren, God. That's okay. I created something for Sarah when she was 99. And I created something for Rebecca. And I created something for this one. Come on, I got you. This is no big deal. Just quit limiting me. Quit asking God to heal that thing. No, God, create a whole new womb in me, because I want to bear children. Come on, release the creator in your life. Come on, lift your hands all over this room. I'm going to turn it back. Come on, just lift your hands right now and shout with a voice of triumph unto your creator. Bring him into the pages of your life. Come on, pastor's wife, bring him into your church. If you're struggling a little bit, that's okay. Create some new hearts. Create some new minds. Create some new spirits. Create some new tongues. Create some new revival. Create some new things.